Good afternoon, everybody. This is Little Nugster here on episode, I believe, number 5. Alrighty, what a week we had. We had a takeover this past weekend. Takeover Portland, to be exact. And also, there was the Daytona 500 on Sunday, but unfortunately that got postponed. And they ended up doing the race Monday afternoon around 4 o'clock. For those of you that are NASCAR fans, I'm also a NASCAR fan too, but I generally now watch only the first race of the season, because my favorite race car driver, Dale Earnhardt Jr., is not racing anymore. He ended up retiring, I believe, 3 years ago. But ever since he retired, I stopped watching NASCAR. So now I'm only watching NASCAR the first race of the season. Just want to give a shout out to Ryan Newman. He had a very horrible crash pretty much right at the end of the race Monday night. He ended up going into the hospital with serious injuries, and none of those injuries were life-threatening, which is really great to hear. And then, oddly enough, the next day was the passing of Dale Earnhardt Sr. I believe in 2001, he ended up passing away in a NASCAR wreck during the Daytona 500. But as of now, I think yesterday, Ryan Newman is out of the hospital, and that is really great to hear. So I'm really glad about Ryan Newman being all better, and he's out of the hospital. He looks like he's doing really well. You know, for NASCAR fans out there, even if you're not a NASCAR fan at all, if you happen to, it was actually all over the news. It was, you know, if you happen to see the video, if they showed any video, you know, it looked like a pretty horrible crash, and those kind of crashes, you kind of get scared because, you know, Ryan Newman's a pretty popular NASCAR driver, and those type of wrecks, you get pretty shaken up, you know, to see if they made it out all right. And Ryan ended up making it out all right and sustained some injuries. Not exactly sure what injuries were made or what injuries he had, but the good thing is he's out of the hospital and he's doing better. All right, enough about NASCAR. Let's talk about NXT. Last Wednesday on NXT, we had Roderick Strong come out, excuse me, demanding an apology from Velveteen Dream. Because I believe it was last week or the week before that, or let's just say the previous episode, he ended up returning. You know, Velveteen Dream returned from being out for 4 or 5 months, I believe, since Survivor Series, and attacked Undisputed Era. And he ripped off his pants, and it showed Roderick Strong's wife and kid on his, you know, outfit, you know, on his pants. So I guess ever since then, Roderick Strong got upset about that. And he demanded Velveteen Dream for an apology. And then Bronson Reed. Excuse me. I just ate some lunch like a few minutes ago. So I'll be all right. All right, so Bronson Reed ended up coming out, attacking Roderick Strong, and then ended up having a match. It was okay. Fortunately, you know, Bronson Reed did not take the win. Roderick Strong ended up winning. And then at a certain point, after the match, there was like a little, I guess, video or something on the Titantron. And then Velveteen Dream appeared on it and was talking about, you know, he was making it a little personal. And talks about his wife, Roderick Strong's wife and kid. And I believe Roderick Strong didn't take that too well. And shortly after that, we had Candice LeRae versus Dakota Kai. That was a decent match. You know, obviously it was kind of a preview to you know, Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox's match at TakeOver, which I'll be talking about TakeOver, you know, a little later on. But Dakota Kai ended up winning against Candice LeRae. Then shortly after that, we had Johnny Gargano versus Cameron Grimes. And this match was pretty good. I liked this match quite a bit. They went back and forth pretty good. And Johnny Gargano took the win via submission. And thought that was pretty good. Gained some momentum in that match by winning, you know, to kind of set you up to see what's going to happen for the TakeOver match against Finn Balor. And then we had Lio Rush versus Angel Garza. I believe this was for the No, it wasn't. It was not for the Cruiserweight Championship. It was kind of like whoever wins this match faces Jordan Devlin, I believe. Once again, another great match between the two. I kind of like Angel Garza a little bit. You know, you've been noticing on Raw, he's been showing up lately. So, I don't really, I mean, it kind of makes sense because NXT and Raw are on the same network. So, I would think it is okay to have a superstar from NXT to show up on Raw since they're on the same network. I mean, look what's been happening between Charlotte and Rhea Ripley. You know, Charlotte came out on Raw a couple weeks ago. I think it was maybe 3 weeks ago or something. And basically after the Royal Rumble, Charlotte came out talking about who she was going to challenge. And then I believe Rhea Ripley came out and basically issuing a challenge to Charlotte to have her go against Rhea Ripley for the NXT title. I forget where. Oh, yeah. Angel Garza. Versus Lio Rush. Like I said, it was a great match. Lio Rush ended up taking the win. And therefore, last night he faced Jordan Devlin for the Cruiserweight Championship. Then after that match, we had Bianca Belair versus Santana Garrett. That happened to be a quick match. And once again, you know, Bianca Belair took the win in a quick match, which once again kind of, you know, she had a match at TakeOver with Rhea Ripley for the title. So that kind of set up, you know, her momentum for the match. And then lastly, we had Adam Cole versus Kushida. I thought that was a pretty decent match. What I have been noticing is that I can tell that Adam Cole is a heel, but yet people are still, you know, doing his catchphrases and stuff like that. That's fine. I guess, I don't know. Just whatever. Don't listen to me. But I like Adam Cole. I pretty much believe everybody else does, because they all do his catchphrase every time he shows up. Adam Cole took the win. That's pretty much all I had written down for NXT. So next, we are going to talk about Friday Night SmackDown. It started off with a moment of bliss with, obviously Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. And her guest was, Bayley. Or no, not Bayley. Wow. Her guest was Carmella. And then, as Carmella was talking, Bayley ended up coming out. Talks a little bit of trash here and there. And I guess they were supposed to have a match later on during the night. And the match ended up happening pretty much after Becky came out. And so Bayley and Carmella had a match together shortly after the Moment of Bliss segment. Thought it was a okay match. Unfortunately, Carmella did not win. I believe this match was for the Women's Championship, but I believe it was. You know, as Bayley is a heel, she ended up using the ropes for the win. And I believe a couple times that Bayley was in matches, she's tried to use the ropes, and the ref actually caught her using the rope a couple times. But this time, he didn't. So Bayley ended up winning, and she used the ropes for help. And after that, yeah, after that, we had a 2-on-1 handicap match. It was Apollo Crews and Shorty G versus Sheamus. This was, I believe, it was a quick match. It wasn't very quick, but it was quick. Sheamus ended up winning, no surprise there. With SmackDown being February 14th, February 14th was Valentine's Day, and I believe 2 weeks ago, we had a little thing backstage when Otis was attempting to ask Mandy Rose on a date. Lucky for him, she ended up saying no because she already had plans, but she was free the next Friday, which happened to be Valentine's Day. So they've been doing this whole entire thing throughout the whole episode of SmackDown and getting ready for the date. it, you know, it showed Mandy Rose showing up for the date, sitting down, getting ready. And then I guess shortly after that, Otis received a text message from Mandy saying that she was going to be late. I think the text message came before Mandy Rose went to the table. But anyway, as it was about to happen, the camera went to Mandy Rose, and somebody kind of put their hand on Mandy Rose's shoulder, and I believe she thought it was Otis, but then when she looked up, it ended up being that little asshole, Dolph Ziggler, who always steals the show. Man. He is... I like Dolph Ziggler, but that just adds fuel to the fire, man. Come on. But I kind of have a feeling that Dolph Ziggler ended up finding a way to send that message to Otis just so Otis can be, you know, upset. And then by the time that happened, Otis actually showed up, but then he saw that Dolph Ziggler was sitting across from Mandy Rose, and it was sad. It was a little sad. I felt bad for Otis. Then after that, we had a tag match with Miz and Morrison versus Roman Reigns and a mystery partner. And the mystery partner ended up being Daniel Bryan. And I believe as that match was going on, King Corbin showed up. And the reason why he showed up was because he had a ticket. So he was sitting with the audience. And then that match was okay. Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan got the win. And then King Corbin started attacking Roman Reigns a little bit and then ran out of the ring and ran out of the arena. All right. Sunday, we had TakeOver. I believe there were like 6 matches. I didn't write any of this down, but I thought TakeOver Portland was pretty freaking good. You know, these matches that they had were really great. You know, Keith Lee and Dijakovic did another great match together. Since NXT has been on the USA Network, these two have been battling it out like crazy. Keith Lee ended up winning that match, but like I said, it was a great one. I forget exactly what match was after that, but I know, the Finn Balor and, Johnny Gargano match was amazing. I'll get to the other match after this. But yeah, this match was really amazing. It seemed like a lot of the people were behind Finn Balor throughout the whole match. Everybody goes back and forth nowadays with people. You know, you chant for the good guy, and then, like, you know, I'll give you an example. When John Cena and CM Punk were feuding, you know, the fans were cheering, "Let's go Cena," and the other chant was CM Punk. So you got "Let's go Cena," Cena or CM Punk. And then, you know, every time Cena comes out, you know, you always hear the "Let's go Cena, Cena sucks." So it's pretty much the same thing on NXT, you know. You got Adam Cole being, not Adam Cole. You got Finn Balor being, You got Johnny Gargano being, you know, cheered for, and then on the other side you got Finn Balor being cheered also. So that was a really great match. Finn Balor ended up taking the win. And then we had a street fight between Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox. And man, that match was a little brutal. I liked it, but that match was a little brutal. Tegan Nox took some shots to the head. And props to her for doing that, just to make the match a little more important than it should be. Then you had the Bruiserweights versus Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. You had the Bruiserweights, Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne, facing Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, and that match was for the NXT Tag Team Champions. Chips, and the Bruiserweights ended up winning the match, so they are your new NXT Tag Team Champions. Then we had Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. That match was pretty good. Rhea obviously retained. And then Charlotte Flair came from behind and attacked Rhea Ripley. And she grabbed the mic and said, "So I thought about it." And then she said, "I'll see you at WrestleMania." And she said that to the, I want to say, I don't know if I should know, because I'll just say Princess of Brutality. That's my little nickname for Rhea Ripley. She's the Princess of Brutality. Because, I mean, you can't say a queen because Charlotte's the queen. And you can't say, what do you call it? I don't know. But yeah, you can't say queen because of Charlotte. And then we had a really, really, really great match between Adam Cole and Tommaso Ciampa. Like, this match was freaking amazing. Every time you thought there was going to be a three count, it was literally like inches away from being a three count. It was that amazing. I really hope this continues. I would love to see this continue. But unfortunately, by the end of the match, Johnny Gargano came out and turned on Tommaso Ciampa. That dick. But Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa have a really great rivalry, or have had a really great rivalry. So we'll see that rivalry come back together. Alright, so now we got NXT, SmackDown, and TakeOver out of the way. We will end with Monday Night Raw. And once again, it started off with Randy Orton coming out. And man, oh man, every time he comes out now, he is just getting blasted with booze. I mean, hey, that's what, this is what happens when you take out one of the greatest wrestlers in the world. So yeah, Randy Orton came out, ended up talking about what happened last week, which, basically last week, Randy Orton, gave Matt Hardy an RKO and, slammed his head in a chair. Oh, wait, no. Did that happen? Hold on. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Duh. So, yeah, last week was when he RKO'd Matt Hardy and then did the concerto thing. And then this past Monday, Randy Orton came out, you know, talked about what happened last week to Matt Hardy, you know, what he did to Matt Hardy. And then Matt came out again. I guess they were supposed to have a no-holds-barred match later on that night. And then, you know, Randy Orton was talking about how, unfortunately, you know, don't really know if that match is going to happen because Matt Hardy was trying to get cleared to have the match. But then Matt Hardy came out and he continued to ask why he did what he did to Edge. And then Randy Orton says sorry, then walks away. And then he goes back into the ring and starts attacking Matt Hardy again. And he did the concerto not once, but twice. He did it once in the ring, and the second time he did it on the steel steps. I do not think we will see Matt Hardy again. If we do, he's got to get his ass kicked. I say somebody else needs to show up. Maybe somebody from the Edgeheads. Who knows? Maybe somebody, you know, Zack Ryder, Kurt Hawkins, anybody else. But, yeah. So, after that, we had a match. Eric Rowan ended up coming out, and I was wondering, I was like, who's he gonna face? And then you heard the little guitar, you know, the lights dimmed, and I was like, oh man, he's facing Aleister Black. That's awesome. This was a pretty quick match. And, you know, lately, every match that Aleister Black has been in, he's been winning. So, no surprise here. Aleister Black took the win. But what in the hell is in this cage that Eric Rowan has? Some people say, you know, I've read or heard something from someone that it could be this spider that's too big to fit in the cage. And the reason why he, you know, it bit Eric Rowan is because he's upset. I don't know. But what the hell is in this freaking cage? God damn it. I want to know. I want to know what's in this cage. So, after that, we got Charlotte coming out. Talks about challenging Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. I don't remember what else happened after that or during that, but basically she was just talking about what happened at NXT TakeOver and her coming out basically saying that, you know, I'm now facing Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania for the NXT title. Will she take it? I have no idea. We will find out when WrestleMania gets here. All right. After that, we had a triple threat match for the 24/7 7-Eleven I-95 title, as R-Truth would say. And it was R-Truth, Mojo Rawley, and Riddick Moss. And Riddick Moss pinned Mojo last week to become the new 24/7 champion. And unfortunately, he did the same thing. Riddick Moss took the win. And as soon as he took the win, he ran right out of the ring. And God knows where the hell he went. Then we had Drew McIntyre versus MVP. And then before the match even happened, or before MVP came out, Paul Heyman started coming out because I believe Drew was talking about, you know, him facing Lesnar at WrestleMania, saying that he's going to walk into WrestleMania, talking about that he's going to knock, go into Suplex City with a Claymore kick, or knock over Suplex City with a Claymore, and become your new WWE champion. And then Paul Heyman came out, talking for a little bit, and then he introduced MVP. And then, you know, unfortunately, I thought MVP was done. I thought the match that he had with Ray was his last match. But, I don't know. Drew took the win anyway. Then, Becky Lynch came out. You know, they went to... It did the little thing where, you know, they showed you what happened last week. She had the match with Asuka, and then Becky Lynch won, and then Shayna Baszler attacked her from behind and bit her in the neck. So Becky Lynch was talking about Shayna Baszler, and then Shayna showed up on the Titantron, started talking, you know, and I guess she's going to be involved in the Elimination Chamber match coming up in at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. And she was saying how that match was fit for her because Elimination Chamber is a cage match and Shayna Baszler is a cage fighter. And she says that when it comes down to it, she's going to beat the living shit out of her. Literally said the word shit on live TV. I was a little surprised about that. I thought they would have bleeped it out or whatever. But hey, there was one at one point in time a little while ago, you know, there was a rivalry with Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley. When they went through the little screen by the ramp and Corey Graves said holy shit, and that wasn't bleeped out. So maybe so often we'll get a few words here and there. But yeah, so after that, we had a Rollins promo slash, I don't know, a sermon? Whatever the hell that is. But shortly after that, we had the OC come out, and then Ricochet came out, was talking a little bit of trash, and the OC was coming out, Yeah, the OC came out. AJ Styles, you know, he was back from injury. He was talking about how he's in this gauntlet match at Super Showdown. So, as he was talking, Ricochet came out. And I guess Carl Anderson was issuing a challenge for, having a match against Ricochet. So AJ Styles didn't have to because he just got back from an injury. And then I believe... I didn't even write down who won this match. I think Carl Anderson did, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember. But after that, we had Kevin Owens and the Viking Raiders versus Murphy and the AOP. Once again, we had the same freaking match we've been seeing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. When is it going to stop? I'm just kidding. But yet again, I'm not, because it seems like we do see these matches every freaking week. Like, I mean, really. But towards the end of the match, I forget who won, but the Street Profits came out to help Kevin Owens and the Viking Raiders, and they were attacking Murphy and the AOP. And then I believe sometime after that, after Raw went off the air, my dad, aka the Nugster on the Top Rope Report, which you can listen to every Sunday on TalkShoe.com and Spotify. He, I'm part of a group chat on Facebook Messenger. And he ended up sending a link in the group chat saying that the Street Profits are going to be challenging Rollins and Murphy for the Raw Tag Titles. And I believe that match is going to be at Super Showdown, which, by the way, is going to be happening next Thursday, I believe around noon, I think. Also, I want to mention, I don't know the time yet, but Wednesday, I will be joining the Top Rope Report for our prediction show for Super Showdown. Once I know the time frame, I will let you guys know. And maybe you guys can tune in. So that is it for this episode of Little Nugs Podcast. If you guys want to hear more on what I have to say, even if I don't really have a lot to say and just go over the stuff that happened and hearing myself ramble on, feel free to subscribe to my podcast on Spotify and Anchor. I don't know exactly when my podcast will be available on all the other platforms, but as soon as I find out, I will let you know. So, I will see you. Well, not see you, because I can't really see you, but I will hear from you guys next week. Hope you guys have a great weekend, and see you later. Peace!